So it's Easter morning, one of a preacher's very favorite days, Easter morning. We love to celebrate Easter. You know, I love about Easter is, especially because I've got two daughters, seeing all the little girls in their Easter dresses, their headbands with flowers, and you come to church on Easter Sunday expecting certain things, don't you? I mean, you expect people to say, "He is risen," and you say, there you go. You also expect coffee and at our church, donuts between services or beforehand. You expect to, hopefully, encounter Jesus at some point as you come through our church service. So you come Easter morning, you're going to hear the Easter story, you'll get another boring sermon that you may or may not stay awake through. You're going to go eat lunch somewhere, maybe take a nap in the afternoon if you're lucky. You have these expectations. So in our gospel reading that Reagan read for us, the women went to the tomb expecting to deal with Jesus' dead body. But instead, they found angels, an empty tomb, and a risen Jesus. You see, our God is a God that does the unexpected regularly. In my life, in your life, in the life of our church, God does the unexpected. There are people in Houston that would tell you the most unexpected thing in the world is Mike Tyson being a pastor. There are still people in Houston scratching their heads. He what? The Easter story from Matthew that we read, I don't know if you caught it, but it's a little bit different than the other Easter stories in the other Gospels. Did you catch that? That the author of Matthew has placed some guards where there's no mention of guards in the other Gospels. He is responding to a rumor. Because remember, our Gospels are written to a specific audience at a specific time with a specific concern. The scripture reading we read, it ended with, "And this story is still told to this day among the Jews," right? So Matthew is responding to this rumor that the disciples came and stole his body. In Matthew's account, it is physically impossible for them to have stolen Jesus' body because the guards were present. So the women go to the tomb expecting one thing, and they get another. An angel tells them, "He is not here. He is risen. Look, see where he lay. Go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee." And then I love this part of the text. They're like walking along, right? They're leaving to go and tell the good news, and like Jesus just pops up. "Greetings." Really? I mean, they don't see him at a distance. It's just like Jesus is there. "Greetings." Of course, if they was in College Station, it'd be "Howdy," right? But they go expecting to deal with the dead body of Jesus, and instead they encounter the risen Christ saying, "Hey, y'all, I'm here." And they worship him, and they go and they share the good news. You do realize what we are celebrating today, right? That a dead man lived. He rose again. I mean, why are we not more shocked and amazed by what we're celebrating? I mean, we show up Easter after Easter, right? Expecting to hear a boring sermon, go to lunch, maybe catch a nap. Well, why are we not stunned by this? I mean, imagine if you knew someone who you went to their funeral, and then you were walking down the street 3 days later and you saw them. I mean, don't you think you would tell that story? You might even call the National Enquirer, right? Why are we not more shocked by this? You ever seen a dead person walking? I sort of have. Another church I served at, there was a 92-year-old man. I'll call him Joe. Joe was a Marine. Every major battle in the Pacific, he was there. And he was in the hospital. I was getting ready to go on a two-week vacation with my family to Colorado. And so right before I left town, I went and I saw him. And he was in such incredible pain. He was hurting. He was 92. And he said, "Mike, I want to pass on. I'm ready. I'm done. The world hurts. I want to go see my wife. I want to go see my Jesus. So would you pray with me that I'll pass quietly and quickly?" And so I did. And I left town. I didn't hear word of his passing. And I came back late on a Saturday night, and I showed up for church on Sunday 2 weeks, actually 3 weeks later. Guess who was sitting in the cafe drinking coffee? Joe. He hadn't quite made it all the way to the triumphant church. But I was astounded. I don't know that he never ever said anything to me about having prayed with him to pass on and then him drinking coffee 3 weeks later in our cafe. But I was stunned. I was happy, but I was stunned. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. Because he lives, we are no longer a slave to sin or death. We are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is restored to one of righteousness. God has won with the resurrection of Jesus. We are forgiven. We are given eternal life. And like Jesus' resurrection, our death is really just a new beginning. It's not the end of anything. It's the beginning of forever. How awesome is that? It's the beginning of life in God's presence. It's the beginning of life with all those that we have loved that have passed before us. You see, it happened when Jesus was resurrected. The kingdom of God came to earth. The kingdom of God came to earth on Jesus' resurrection. On that first Easter Sunday, the kingdom of God was inducted into this world. Some of you are going, "But wait, Mike, if this is the kingdom of God, what's he doing? I mean, why aren't things better if this is the kingdom of God? I mean, there's so much killing, so much war, the horrible things people do to other people. Really, that's the kingdom of God?" Son of God, the Son of Man, he's already done all the work. He's already done the work. He died and he was resurrected so that we might be forgiven. Yes, our world is messed up and sin is still present in our world. We still have free will. We still have the ability to choose to follow Jesus or not. And for those that choose to follow Jesus, the kingdom of God is here. Because in that kingdom, in that faith, we find peace in Christ. In this lifetime, in this world, we experience salvation now, not just when we die. But we do believe that there is a time when Jesus will return, when Jesus will come back, and all will be made right. The kingdom of God will come completely to us on earth. A text that we're going to read comes from the book of Revelation, and that is a singular revelation. It's not revelations. Just one revelation. And it talks about the return of Jesus. Now, it's talked about in other places in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 11, I think it is, verse 4, talks about it. Matthew talks about it. Paul talks about it. It's talked about in other places, but it is a big thing in the book of Revelation. Now, I would love to tell you that I understand exactly what the book of Revelation is talking about, but I can't. It's a really complicated book. I mean, some will tell you it's a giant allegory. Some will tell you it's just somebody's really bad acid trip or something. And what I can tell you, what I get when I read the book of Revelation, I find the only thing that I really need to know, and that's that God wins. Period. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's God wins. God has already won. And the book of Revelation makes that clear. So our text is the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." I'm going to add this fifth verse. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." This picture that you're looking at, it is an apse mosaic. It was done in about 340 AD. It's in a church in Rome. You can go and see it. It's the church of Santa Pudenziana. It is thought to be one of the earliest surviving mosaics. This is a picture of Jesus coming again. You see the sky? I mean, that's an apocalyptic sky. You see the jeweled cross there at Calvary? And there are, if you knew them, you would recognize them. But those are buildings that the Emperor Constantine built, one at the place where Jesus ascended, one at the place where Jesus was born. That is the new Jerusalem coming down to earth. And you see up at the top, you've got the four figures. Well, there are apocalyptic figures that are written about in the book of Revelation and Ezekiel. But also, those particular beings represent each of the four Gospels. Matthew is the angel, Mark is the lion, Luke is the bull, and John is the eagle, which is kind of off to the right and you can't really see. And it's believed that the apostles are there gathered at Christ's feet. Paul on the left, Peter on the right. This is thought to be the earliest interpretation of the return of Christ. This is just one picture. If you go back and you look at early Christian art, you will see lots of depictions of Jesus returning. And this is a time when the kingdom of God will be fully present on earth. Jesus says there will be no more death, and I will wipe away every tear. I'm ready. I am ready for that day when Jesus returns and our world is restored to the way it is supposed to be. Our relationship with God is whole and pure, and it's not messed up, and it's not a struggle for us. God will literally walk amongst us, and us with Him. It literally, it's Easter forever. This is the destination of the world. It's when the kingdom of God is fully here. It's fully realized. It's already here, right now, but not yet fully. When Jesus returns, it will come fully and completely. That's real exciting, Mike. Jesus is coming back. Woohoo! What do I do in the meantime? I mean, you know, Paul thought it was happening real quick. He thought that Jesus was returning very quickly. And you can read it in some of his writings. He's expecting Jesus to come back very quickly. So what do we do while we wait? What do we do while we wait and long for the kingdom of God to come fully? Let me be clear. Nothing is not the answer. Sit on your hands and wait is not the answer. Because you see, this gift of salvation that we have been given through the work, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we get to experience it now. I mean, Easter is such a big deal because it is what gave Jesus his power, right? I mean, if Jesus does all the things that we read about in the Bible and is crucified, and there's no resurrection, he's just a dead guy in a tomb. I mean, the resurrection is what gives Jesus' deeds, his teachings, everything, their power. And so the gift of salvation that we receive in this in-between time when the kingdom of God is partially here but not yet fully, it's an awesome gift. And let me tell you what it's not. It's not a golden ticket. It's not a fire insurance policy. You experience salvation in this lifetime, in this world. We're not just waiting to die so we can go and be in heaven. No, Jesus has given us some things to do in this in-between time, yes? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Just start with that. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's what we should be doing in this in-between time. Loving God and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Those are some of the things that we should be doing. Because the tomb is empty, we are forgiven. Because the tomb is empty and Jesus lives, we live. The kingdom of God, it is here. It came on that first Easter morning. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got some business to take care of while you're here. Start with loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. As an Easter people, we need to share the good news that Jesus lives, and because he lives, you also can live. Need to share that news. This is not something that you get to tuck under your pillow and wait for the tooth fairy to come. This is great news. And time is short because Jesus is coming. There is some urgency to sharing this good news that there is salvation in Christ. Being a follower of Christ means sharing the good news that the kingdom of God is here. It is our job to ensure that the people experience the kingdom of God through us. That's what we're supposed to do as a church. As a follower of Christ, is to be the kingdom of God here on earth. So how are you doing with that? Do people see the kingdom of God in you? You serve a risen Lord. Go and share that good news. Go and be the kingdom of God.